Yo.
Net and the eclectic perspectives of Mr. Blue. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. I can't complain.
Well, I can, because this Trumpageddon thing has got my brain fried like them old drug war commercials that the Reagan administration put out. These are your brains on drugs. Shit, I feel like I need to be on drugs. He wants to fight the drug. He wants to launch an attack on the drug wars like the Reagan years. Yet he doesn't understand that it's his agenda, his administration, which is causing numerous stressors, which cause people to want to do drugs to escape.
Yeah. Jeff Sessions trying to jam people up, you know, trying to even states that legalize marijuana, he's trying to roll that back, but you know.
Well, good luck on that. Virginia just passed medicinal. North Carolina's considering medicinal. We're going to have it before you know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then what's Jeff going to do?
Jeff's going to get his ass off the damn. He's going to get his ass off, because I know some things about Jeff that if it leaked, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and leak it. He's going to be in that position very much longer. I know some things about Jeff. Jeff's one of them good old boys that has deep, deep clan affiliations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, you figure, as they say, he was too racist to be a judge, a federal judge in the 80s. But only Trump could he become attorney general now. So
I know that's crazy. Only in America, and not America, AmericA, America with the triple K.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know that this has to be some kind of matrix glitch for this to have happened, because this could not have happened in a regular society, America, universe. This is the most glitchiest side of the matrix we've ever seen. Who was it? Who did it? Who made the Matrix series? The Weinstein brothers?
Supposedly.
Right. So they were light years ahead of their time. And that freaky ugly motherfucker, ooh boy, he was, yeah, anyways.
I look at it like this. Well, before we start, you know, I am a merce, you know, and this is Mr. Blue from the Urban Breakdown. He is our producer / showrunner and all around great guy. and he's going to be with me. He's going to be with me on my first anchor podcast. You know, we do politics here, and you know, we do a lot of things on the Urban Breakdown. But I pretty much lead the politics side of it. So this podcast is pretty much going to be. I'm a big rock fan, you know, which I guess is striking because I'm African American. But I follow a group called Living Color. Been with them since like the 80s, and they had an EP called Biscuits. And Biscuits was basically an EP of all the stuff that didn't make it onto the album, but was still good enough to put out, you know, as something. So this podcast is pretty much going to be the pantry, the Biscuits for the main show for politics. So basically the stuff that doesn't make it onto politics, I'll probably just do as podcasts here. And Mr. Blue is helping me out with my first podcast. We're going to keep this one kind of short, you know.
But, just, you know, test the waters, get a feel for it. Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah. So, one thing we were going to talk about, and I decided to hold off on it because I have to pull more information on it, because I just found out about it maybe 45 minutes ago, was Jared Kushner losing his security clearance. Now, this may be a temporary thing. You know, because basically Trump could just give it to him, but he's not. And that's what that's what kind of gave me pause on talking about it. I got to find out why Trump is hesitant to give Jared Kushner the security clearance. You know, it was because Rob Porter dropped the ball. Rob Porter was the original, he wasn't chief of staff. That's General Kelly's position. But Porter, of course, got ousted. Well, he had to resign because two of his ex-wives came out and said that they they beat him, that he beat them, even though now Rob Porter is dating Hope Hicks, who's the White House communications director. So it's like a big reality show over there. But I figure before I dive into this, I need to get more information, because it would have been cut and dried, because basically it wasn't just Kushner that lost his clearance. It was a whole bunch of White House aides, but he had interim clearance. So the fact of the matter is, why is it taking so long to get these guys their clearance, their permanent clearance? And Kushner is reading top level secrets. Secrets that, like, if me and Mr. Blue read them, we'd probably either be in Guantanamo Bay or they would have faked our suicides. And yet he gets to read them every day on an interim clearance. So I'll find out more about that, and we'll talk more about that later, because the whole thing about Trump trying to put the task of granting the clearance to General Kelly, to his chief of staff, that seems fishy to me. So we'll talk about that another time. But on the what I want to talk about today, something that didn't make it onto to yesterday's show, was Dianne Feinstein. And if I we're not going to edit this, so if I call Dianne Feinstein Nancy Pelosi by accident, you know who I'm talking about. But something, I think it's wonderful, happened. So Dianne Feinstein is going to run for re-election, right? In, of course, in California, but she did not win their nomination. Now, to get the nomination, right, she would have needed 60% of the vote from the rest of the California Democrats in order to get the delegates, I should say, right? She didn't even get, she only got 37% of the delegates. So Dianne Feinstein's opponent, who is Kevin DeLeon, if I'm pronouncing his name right, which I'm probably not, he is running against, he's trying to primary Dianne Feinstein. He got 54% of the delegates. She only got 37%. Dianne Feinstein has been doing this for, I mean, she's been in politics forever. But, I mean, this is, she's looking for her fifth term. So she's been in the Congress for 25 years. So to me, this is the big thing. Now, the outcome is just going to be the same, because the latest, well, I'm not going to say the latest, the last polls that came out for this primary race, Dianne Feinstein was up like, she was up by like 30 points, like 30 percentage points. All right. So we're talking like 37 to 17 or something. No, I'm sorry. 46% to 17%. And this guy only has maybe a few hundred grand in his war chest. Dianne Feinstein has $10 million in her war chest for just for this election. He's only got like a couple hundred grand. But stranger things have happened. You figure between Hillary and Bernie, right? I knew who Bernie Sanders was because I watched C-SPAN every now and then. And Bernie Sanders is on there, you know, doing this thing. And I was like, I like this guy. I really do. So when he started to run, I knew who he was, and I was instantly on board. Because when I heard it was just Hillary, I was like, you know. No, you're good. I was just saying, put it like this. The feeling that I get when I eat Papa John's pizza. That's the feeling that I get. That I got when I heard Hillary was going to run almost on a pose.
Oh man, that's an awful feeling, bro. That pizza is the shit.
I know that pizza is Papa John's pizza is the pizza that you eat when every place else is closed. So if you don't live in a college where wing places are open until 2 o'clock, and Domino's people are going home, and Papa John's is still open, and you're just kind of like, I don't want to cook anything. That's the pizza that you eat, right? You know. But that's how that made me feel. And I heard Bernie was going to run, and I was on board. But you figure Bernie closed a 60-point lead on Hillary, because the more Hillary talked, the less people liked her. And the more Bernie talked, the more people liked him. So keep in mind, it's still what, 7-8 months until the election? So anything can happen. And the fact that he didn't get the endorsement, or I should say Dianne Feinstein didn't get the endorsement, that's huge, because that means it's a big, it's starting to become a big shift in the Democratic Party in California. You know, and maybe I can't speak for Democrats in other states, but California is the biggest Democratic state next to New York, right? If California goes progressive, that could have huge ramifications for the country, because they go progressive and they start to really show people how it's done. It could be a big movement. It could cause a big shift in Democrats across the country. I mean, the Democrat, I mean, I'm a former Democrat. Blue, are you still a Democrat or are you independent?
You know, I wanted to be independent, but remember, my district made me switch to either Republican or Democrat for the vote. So in my heart, I'm independent. I'm gonna try to go independent again, because I feel like I don't want to lean too far to any side. I want to be who I am and make the choice I want to make. And it may be 4 Republicans, it may be 5 Democrats, it may be 1 independent, it may be a libertarian or something like that. It may be a Nazi. I mean, you know, whoever's going to make the best move for what I believe the direction the country needs to go in. Because unlike some people who say, I don't want to throw away a vote, I don't have a problem throwing away a vote, because I vote on my ideology.
Yeah. And voting on ideology is good if you have a good ideology. Like, if you have an ideology about being positive, helping people, you know, then your ideology. But if your ideology is that whole pull yourself by your bootstraps horseshit that a lot of conservatives talk about, and, you know, welfare is horrible unless I need it, you know, stuff like that, then that's not a good ideology. So, I mean, I always say, if you have ideology versus reality, reality wins every time, you know. But if you have a good ideology that helps other people, hey, I'm all for that. I'm not going to knock it. Yeah. But you figure, I don't remember. Oh, actually, I do know what happened in New York. In New York, there is a subsection of Democrats who are basically gumming up the work in New York in order to get, and they're stopping a lot of progressive measures from going through. In California, you basically, they should have been working on single payer for California, and their Speaker of the House, and I apologize, I didn't think I was going to be talking about him. I didn't get his name again. The California Speaker of the House is a Democrat. He basically blocked a measure to put single payer to a vote, because he knew if it went to a vote, California is Democratic, it would have won. And then they would have started making the plans to have single payer health care in California. Now, California has, first thing people say is, well, it costs a tremendous amount of money to start single payer. Yeah, it does. You know, but California is the 6th largest economy in the world, not in this country, in the world. So it's not a matter of, do they have the money? It's a matter of just, you know, putting everything in place, you know, and making sure that it's not too much of a burden on the taxpayers. But it could be done in California. And if it's done in California, and people start to see, oh my God, California has single payer health care, and it's working, then what's to stop the rest of the country from going single payer and then having it done on the federal level? You know, and like Bernie Sanders said, we don't need to start from scratch. We already have Medicaid and Medicare. Just expand Medicaid and Medicare. You know, it's not that difficult. But the problem is, everything is profit based. Dianne Feinstein is a dinosaur, and I'm not talking about her age. She's 85 years old. Okay. Well, yes and no. Like, Bernie Sanders is what, mid 70s right now?
90.
Either early to mid 70s. Right. So a lot of people say that Bernie Sanders is too old to be president. Donald Trump, was 70 when he was president, and he was the oldest president to be sworn in.
72, right?
Like Reagan. I think he turned 71 this year. No, you're right. He turned 72 this year. We're in 2018 now. He turned 72 this year. You're right. So
he lives remarkably well to be 72, I think.
Who, Donald Trump?
Yeah.
It's because they glazed him like a ham.
I love so, him, but that sounds tasty.
He's like a glazed ham. He's just all preserved and whatnot. So, but you figure, I'm not an ageist, but with Dianne Feinstein, it's not her age that I'm worried about. She could be 105. She could do the job. Let her do the job. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 247 years old. I don't want her to retire ever. You know, but
the vampire.
But my thing is this: it's not her age that makes me give those tar pit references. It's her ideals. Okay, number one, she's against single payer health care. That right there is the wooden stake in the heart of any support you'll have from progressives, is if you're against single payer health care, because right now for progressives. So, and I would say in no particular order, minimum wage, student loans, single payer health care. Yeah. I'll put it like this. I'm diabetic, right? And I have this thing in my arm called a Libre. So it's a little white disc, and it's, you know, have a little delivery system. They jab into my arm. And this way, instead of me having to prick my finger a few times a day and draw blood, right? I have a little scanner, and I scan it, and it just tells me my blood sugar. So I... because I hate needles. I'm not good with needles, you know, even though I take a little bit of insulin and I have to deal with needles then, but, you know, but the insulin is only once a day, you know. Now, basically, this is a godsend for me, someone who doesn't like needles. And if you're somebody who's elderly or somebody who may be prone to forgetting to take your blood sugar, or if you have to take it in the pinch, or if you're like, say, if you're on a job, or if you're someplace where you don't want to have to, you know, sit down at a desk and get your reader and do all that other stuff, you just take your little scanner, beep, and it's done, right? Yeah. But here's my thing: the reader itself is $100, right? $100 for the reader. Right. With my insurance, it cost me like $60. No. I take that back. It was with my insurance, it was $40 for the reader.
That's right. I have to say, you have a fucked up insurance.
Yeah. Well, it was $60 because and each one of these little discs lasts me 10 days. So the discs are $20 a piece. Right.
What?
Now, put it like this. If I were to buy, so three discs is $60 on my insurance. If I were to buy the lancets and the strips and everything like that, it would cost me about $60 a month anyway.
So the same. So what are you saving? What are you doing? I don't understand.
Yeah. So it's pretty much the same difference. But the thing is, without insurance, I wouldn't be able to afford it. It would just be cost prohibitive to have something like that. Right. So you figure, and this is just preventative maintenance for me to keep me from going from a type 2 diabetic to a type 1, which would mean I would have to have insulin, which is insane.
No, you don't transition to type 1 diabetes. You're always going to be type 2 until you don't be type 2. You don't go to type 1. Type 1 means you were born with it.
Well, I'll put it like this, and then I said it wrong. I don't want to be insulin dependent.
There you go. Nobody wants that for you. I drink insulin by the gap. No, I'm just joking. Insulin, one time I know somebody who died from an insulin overdose because they injected themselves and they wasn't supposed to have it. They weren't diabetic. Now, that's a bad way to go out, bro. You know what I'm saying?
It's a bad way to go. Absolutely. Yeah. But insurance is a big deal for pretty much for the country, but it really seems like progressives are the ones who are trying to really champion this, right? Of course, raising the minimum wage, you know. I could talk all day about New York, and, you know, they finally got their minimum wage raised to $15 an hour.
Man, they made more money.
You know, it's going to be a it's gonna be a gradual raise, of course, you know. I think Seattle's already done it, and there are other places that are trying to raise their minimum wage because
it's a bad segue. I know, but I just need to know. So let's see. I know people with master levels that make $15 an hour. So does that mean the master level people, they pay go up or something? Or you could just be a GED dropout and get $15 and make more than a person who's paying back, I don't know, $50,000 in student loans. You dig what I'm saying?
I dig what you're saying, and that's the complicated part, because there was an article about a company where they just raised everybody's minimum wage, but now the people who were already making that money were like, well, how this bitch gonna make the same amount as me? I'm smarter than her. I've been here longer. Okay, they didn't say it like that.
Yeah, the Alequisha said it like that.
Yeah. General just was there. So instead of making people happy, it made other people unhappy because they were like, well, I've been here for 10 years. And now this person who's been here for 2 years makes the same amount of money as I do. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's got to kind of, I mean, I know with certain companies it's going to scale up. Like with my company, they raise their minimum wage, but now they have to work on, okay, all the people who've been here, we got to scale them up. You know, so it's a process, you know, which is why they often don't go just, you know, raise the minimum wage just like that. I mean, if it's scaling with inflation, that's one thing. That's like with Australia, like their minimum wage is high because years ago they decided to let it scale with inflation. So when inflation goes up, the minimum wage goes up to match it.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have that inflation protection. Because if we did, minimum wage would be like $20 an hour. If we did that 30 years ago, you know. But to my point, the quick point is that Dianne Feinstein is not championing progressive ideals. Okay, she's just not. She's a hawkish centrist, as she's been described, right? And being a centrist worked when Bill Clinton was in office.
That was my favorite part when I was a kid. Silverhawks. What you know about that? You know what I mean?
I never watched Silverhawks. Never.
I had all the toys. Not one of them toys and everything. Hell yeah! I love the what you call the hawkishes. Yeah, that word.
I never got into Silverhawks. I don't know why. Because it seemed like a cool show, but I was more into like Transformers and GI Joe and Pirates of Dark Water, and of course, Thundercats.
I don't even know what Pirates of Dark Water is, but yeah, the other ones, yeah, I can dig it. I can dig it.
Yeah, Pirates of Dark Water, I forgot what channel it used to come on, but not a lot of people know about that, but it was actually a really good show. So, but like I said, she's not really championing, talk about Dianne Feinstein, not really championing progressive ideals. And California is kind of putting her on notice, you know, that even if she wins this election, which she is going to win, unless a miracle happens, she's not going
to
get a lot of...
What do I need to do to make that not happen?
Well, first of all, we got to move to California. That'll be a start because we can't vote
in the election. I still got legal residence in California. What else?
Oh, actually, I don't know if there's much that we could really do except to try and spread the word. And I think that word's already being spread. Just the fact that he didn't get the nomination, get the endorsement, that's huge, you know, because it's starting to become a positive trend that the progressives in the party are starting to rise up and are starting to say, hey, we're not going to go for this whole business as usual politics anymore because it's not working for us. My thing is this, right? If you have, let's just say through some miracle, I know I'm being pessimistic, through some miracle that the Democrats take the House and the Senate, right? I know. But let's just say it's a miracle that they do, right? They break the house in the Senate, and they half-ass it. Come next election, they're just going to get voted out. But if they come in with progressive ideals and they start to push those progressive ideals, they could hold the House and the Senate for a generation. And I know I'm being hyperbolic, but they could really hold on to that House and Senate if they start pushing progressive ideals and push them through the right way. But I think that Dianne Feinstein not getting nomination, I think that's a good omen, you know? Because I look at it like this, Blue. When they have the polls about the NRA, right? And you see that they're they always say, you know, 90% of gun owners want background checks and stuff like that, right? And then 87% of Republicans want the same thing. That's great. If they really wanted that, why are they voting for the same politicians over and over? Keep on towing the NRA line, you know? So you could click on the polls all you want to. In the end, it's who are you voting for? Right. No. So I'm going to keep a close eye on this race in California, and I want to see what's going on, and I want to see if this guy can close that gap, because he's got that 30-point gap, but we'll see what he does. You know, I'm curious to see how it works out. But a lot of incumbent Democrats, like the centrists, they're facing a lot of primary challenges from progressives. Joe Manchin out in West Virginia, you know. So we'll I'm keeping an eye on these races, and we'll see what's what. But it's going to be an interesting year, politics-wise. So, all right. That's all I had. But before I go, Blue, did you have any parting words?
Vote. Don't forget to vote. Tell somebody who isn't voting to vote. And don't throw away your vote. Because if you do, your ass gets smoked. Pow, pow, pow!
So... But all right, that's it for now. And I don't know, there's not going to be a set date or a set day, I should say, when I'm going to be doing the show. Definitely after after the main show, Politrics, on the Urban Breakdown Network. And Blue, where can people find our podcasts?
The Urban Breakdown?
Yeah.
Oh, the Urban Breakdown can be found on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Spreacher, YouTube, I mean everywhere, really, anywhere that podcast play is on, as the same is for this podcast. Even this is its infancy stage, but its first episode will be available on all those same podcasts as well. So whatever app you use, punch in the name for the umbrella of the original Politrics show is the Urban Breakdown, which covers multiple shows such as He Said, She Said, Politrics, Black Man's Perspective, at 360 Degrees, as well as Mercer's Offshoot, is on its own umbrella under Mercer's Politrics, M-E-R-C-E-R-S, Politrics, P-O-L-I-T-R-I-C-K-S. You put that in your search engine on your favorite podcast app, and boom, you subscribe. All right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right.
All right, and that's that.
All right.
Be well, and take care.
All right.
And don't forget, don't throw away your vote. And call into these representatives and senators and all that and get in their ass. They ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Tell them to stop taking the NRA money and stop bullshitting.
Exactly.
All right.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.